Let's pray. Father God, what is on my heart, and I believe on your heart, and the vision I have for us as a church, Father God, is to catch your love, Lord. And Lord, I know, and as I've said this morning, for me it's humanly impossible, Lord, to do a perfect job of that, Father God, save for your Holy Spirit and your power through me, Lord, and through us as a congregation. Lord, we come and consecrate this season, the next couple of Sundays. Lord, our cell groups, our meetings, our WhatsApp groups, our Facebook. We consecrate it to you once again. And we say, Father God, we want to know your love. God, we want to know your love like never before. Lord, we hunger and thirst for the true revelation of your deep, deep, true agape, philio, your all-encompassing love, in Jesus' name. Lord, have your way in this congregation. Have your way in our heart. What we do is we declare our need, and we declare our hunger for more of you, for your revelation, and for love in its purest, purest form, because there is no other. We pray for love in its purest form for this congregation, for our families, for our relationships, in its purest form, because that is its only form. And we thank you, love, that you will love on us and love through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, I really enjoyed last Sunday. I was actually on my way to the bathroom here, still here at church. And as I was walking there, I was just so excited after the service. And I said, Lord, okay, what's next? And God said to me, love. And love seems like such a, with all due respect, such a fuzzy thing to talk about. It's like, for some people, I guess it's like talking about thin air. Or talking about menial things like Springbok rugby. And stuff like that. Stuff that we don't even care about. But love, that was a joke, Petri, to those who watched the rugby yesterday. Is it? We don't joke in church. I do apologize. But love is it's not something that you box in easily. In fact, I believe it's quite impossible to box it in. And as I've started to dig in, and as I started to research, and as I started to seek the Lord about love in this week, and I believe in the weeks to come, I guess we're going to know, and we're going to get to know and understand that we know so little. But the awesome part of that, the flip side of that is that there is so much that we can learn, not only in head knowledge, but in heart revelation of what love and what God's love truly is. So, I don't know about you guys, if you care to go, and I like to ask these questions, and I'm going to ask a couple of them. But I don't know if you'd like to go with us on a journey, and obviously for those who are not here, but go on a journey for a couple of weeks to explore God's love to the fullest degree. Because I believe that, and we'll see in Scripture shortly, and I don't want to jump the gun, but we're going to get to know that God is love. And how are we going to just figure God out in a couple of weeks? It's impossible. But I believe there's going to be revelations. If we hunger and thirst, if we say, Lord, yes, here we are hungry. We as a cell group, we as individuals, us as a family unit, we need more of it. Lord, there's certain revelations that Petri will get in this couple of weeks, I believe, of love that I might not catch. But it's not my season to catch it, but there'll be other stuff that I'll see. Do I have a commitment from you guys? Do you want to get to know love better? Like, really better? Because I just realize more and more that I need to get to know God's true love more and more. Hence, the couple of series, or the couple of parts that we're going to do in this series, still not sure how many there are. At this stage, there are four. It's entitled, Love Looks Like. And our first part today is For God Loved. And I just loved what Danina shared, and it's so cool how the Lord just clearly is at work, and He's prodding our heart for what He's wanting to do in this season. And there's various ways in which God will show, I believe, as we hunger and thirst, we said yes with a nice nod just now, But as we truly say, Lord, we want to rend heaven's doors. We want to knock on your chest. We want to hang on your lips. We want to see the inside of your heart. That type of hunger for love. I guess God will break stuff open in our hearts. I just asked him for a quick picture earlier of us sitting here. What's our definition of love? That was a strange, funny heart that I saw. Bit of an old one with a couple of cracks, but a couple of bumps. And my question to you is, what does love look like? Quickly close your eyes. We've got a bit of time, so close your eyes. And if I say the word love, what comes up? What are you seeing? What are you imagining? What comes up in your heart? For some of us, even hurt may register. For some of us, and not too long ago, by the grace of God, he's sanctifying my life, but I had a very warped idea of love. Emmy, you can open up your eyes and click to the next slide quickly. Thanks. He was imagining love, or he was nodding off and just having a sleep. He's had little sleep this last couple of weeks. So afterwards, if you've got time, if the Holy Spirit anoints you, please pray for Emmy and his family. Back to our new series on love. And it sounds like such a menial, odd question to ask, what does love look like? But it's very important to know, like we've done in the past in a couple of series, to define, is my vision, is my heart, is my mindset about love and biblical love truly a God picture? We said with praying, if we say our Father, and my picture of a father, again using Anina's illustration, if my picture of a father is totally skewed, bent, and perverted, how would I like to pray to our Father? Now likewise, if I say love, and in my teenage brain, that sign down at the bottom, or XXX, or some lustful or porn type thing will come up when I hear the word love, I've got a totally skewed, perverted, and quite frankly, wrong idea of love. If I look at the Bible, if I look at the Word of God without the Holy Spirit, with those love glasses on, with that tainted windows over my eyes of a lustful, skewed, perverted idea of love and affection, what's going to come out on the other side? Likewise for Anina, she's got a beautiful illustration of how she sees little Faria, how she sees her child. But for some of us, we might not have had that love and affection as a child growing up. So we need to ask some tough questions. So we just say, whatever you saw earlier when you close your eyes, just say, Lord, this is my love picture. You know, I just do it now. Lord, I just say, this is my love picture. Come and change it. Come and shake it. Come and mend it. Come and weld it. Come and renew it. Come and restore it. Because in that place, I believe I'll receive a perfect biblical love as God ordained it. And then what? I'll be able to give it as well. So it's not all inward focus about me, myself, and I. But if I've got a skew love picture, I'm unfortunately going to skew love, Pietri. Yeah, very bad. Very, very bad. In Jesus' name, I'm not going to skew love, Pietri. I'm going to godly love. But if I've got a skew picture, I cannot help but have a perverted form of love, which is not the true definition of love either, towards Pietri, my brother. You get the picture. So what is the world saying about it? Family, there's a great love. I can truly, the toughest thing about going on the mission, I said to you guys last week, was my two children. It was a great, tough decision to make. And God really had to stir faith in my heart to say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, you're actually more in control of my children than I am. Yes, I did say that, Lord. You are more in control. That was a huge step. There was sarcasm in the kersinje for ons for me. But obviously, God is more in control of my children than I am. But I had to get to that place where I step over the chicken line and say, Lord, I trust you with my children. For some of us, children, some of the people in the world, it's got a big fat badge of I love myself on. Everything they see is through the love of self glasses. So it's all revolves around myself, me, myself, and I. Some people have a bit of an affection towards money. Gerard shared about that. For other people, it's gift. For other people, it's rainbow love, which I'm not going to go into. For other people, it's butterflies in the stomach. For other people, it's having leisure, having the comforts of this world. For other people, it's just having affection, having a kiss. Or for some people, it's having sex. What is your picture of love? For us to start off this series, I think a good foundation is to lay, is to go back to God and go back to the Word and say, where do we find love? Where do we find an epitome of love, firstly, from God's perspective? And that, I believe, is in the next one. That, I believe, is in the next picture, Emmy. Yeah, it's not there. It's really not that one either. We're going to get to the scripture now. I'm glad we didn't have a drum roll. It would have been awkward. Yes, that's the one. A picture, a godly biblical picture of love. And it's not necessarily something you take out there, you take into a bar, you take into a library or into the shops or onto the beach and say, hey guys, I've got this perfect picture of love. But it's something if God comes and does this thing, does this work and loves this love into your heart, it all makes sense through His Holy Spirit. But a great picture for us of love, the definition of love was the crucifixion. Obviously, the cross and the resurrection of Christ. Let's go to Scripture, John 3:16. For God loved. For God so loved the world, for God, the one that firstly loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have His everlasting life. And I love the picture again, and I'm going to obviously wing off it a couple of times. Thank you, Anina. But if she takes her only begotten Son, if she would have taken the one that she just explained that amazing love about, if that was the one, like Jesus, you guys only have one son at this stage. It is your only begotten Son. But if we should paint that picture, if I should take my Frida or my Sophia, and I put it in there and I read it again, love's got a different picture for that moment. For God so loved the world that He gave. So He loved and He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Suddenly the idea, the previous slide of fabelachtige or comfy, airy-fairy type of love, maybe disappears for a moment when we see how God loved us first. God, in fact, showed us the door to Jesus Christ, the door to the way, the truth, and the life for us. Now, it's very important. You guys know the story. We're not going to go into John 3:16. You know the heart of it. God had to come and restore. God had to, as we sang earlier, God had to give His spotless lamb, His perfect spotless Son, His only begotten Son, He had to give sacrificially so that we can, as we believe in Him, be restored and be made whole with God, so that we can be in a love relationship with God as well. Now the love there, and you know this already, in Greek is not... In Greek, there's not one word for love. In fact, there's four, of which two is clearly in the Bible, and we'll look at two of them. And that is agape and philia. Now, who's heard those two terms before, agape and philia? So whenever we see the word love in the Word, it's important to know what are we talking about. Whenever we say, Lord, this is my picture of love, we need to know what are we talking about. If God looks at this, out of God's perspective, what did He see and what is he thinking? Now, great. The agape love is the following: a caring or godly concern for someone, even if you do not know or like him or her. Who's loved somebody that they haven't liked? There's a couple of hands that shuts up. You old spiritual people, you. A caring or godly concern for someone, even if you do not know or like him or her. It's like saying, Lord, excuse a bit of sarcasm, but it needs to be true. But Lord, I choose to love Richie McCaw. Anybody who watched the rugby, that I didn't see the try, thank God, but I didn't see it. But you choose to love your enemies. God Himself can give it. God Himself can give agape love. Now, obviously, agape love was the one in John 3:16. For God so loved, for God so agaped the world. Those that would strongly testify that He does not exist, He chose to love them. He chose to agape them. Those who hate Him, those who try to argue Him away, He agaped. That's a weird picture of love. It's not all, wat is daai lekkertjies met die woorde op en butterflies in the stomach and spookasem en fliek. It's not all of that. It's a bit deeper. It's a bit further than that. It's a different type of love. Those that spat in His face, He chose to agape. Nobody wants to leave. Hallelujah. We're still in there. Agape is love which is of and from God. Agape is love that is of and from God. If it is not for God, there is no agape. I cannot agape you out of my flesh. It'll be a bit of a disaster. Whose very nature is love itself. Essence of agape love is self-sacrifice. Hardcore. Second one, philia. Also found the word of God. It is a definition to show a signs of otherwise denote brotherly affection. So it's just brotherly affection. That I can do. Unperverted filio towards Petri. Petri, filio, van de afstand af. So we filio each other with a brotherly affection. But I'm also called, by the way, to agape, Petri. And I think many a times you need to agape me without me even knowing it. Humans without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can only give the emotion towards their fellow man. We know a lot of filio out there. It's easier to filio. Now there's filio and then there's, what's the erotic, eros, the erotic or the more the sexual type of one that is a godly one, but also unfortunately gets perverted and skewed, but we're not going to go into details because we do have youth here and there's some people that do listen to these messages. And quite frankly, I don't believe it's now in God's heart for this specific time. But agape and filio is very important. So agape is not just a touchy-feely love. It's not just a spook awesome love. It's not just kom ons gaan vir 'n fliek, kom ons soen agter in die kar type of love. It's something that is deep. It's something that is self-sacrificial. And it's something that God did for us firstly. And then filio, as we said. Remember these two, we are going to revisit them now and again over the next two Sundays because it's very, very important, I believe, for us to renew our mind around certain terms and certain terminology that when we speak to one another or when we read in the burger or the huisgenoot or the you or we switch on DSTV and somebody say love or with all due respect if somebody said they made love, then we need to know what the heck was that in fact? Is that agape? Is that filio? Is that just absolute rubbish? And we need to know that as Christians. Because we call to what? We call to love. We call to agape. We call to a filio. But let's move on. So we looked at, I believe, a biblical foundational. It's not the only foundational picture of love. And we said God loved. And we saw that in John 3:16. God loved by giving His Son so that we can have life. Not now, but forever. So that, put that in your back pocket, not in your pipe. Put it in your back pocket and remember that. Let's move on to the next slide. For we were loved. Because agape might sound very hard to you guys. It's Sunday, it's quite cold, and you're like, what are you asking from me, Retief? What are you saying? Three new members are saying, what's this all about? We didn't know about this agape thing. Didn't read that in the contract. What's this agape thing about? But I want you to relax. We're going to get to it. For we were loved. Let's look at Scripture. And look how God is in fact coming to our aid once again. 1 John 4:7-12 and 16-19. We're going to read through the Scripture slowly. So let it meditate. Let it cut. Let it speak to you. The different parts that will speak to different. And then I'm just going to take two things out of it that I believe we should take home today. Not the only things, but two important things. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. By the way, I looked it up. This is the Greek agape love. It's not the filio spiritual een, this is the meer senior een. This is the more senior type of love, the agape love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Anyone who does not agape does not know God. Because God is love. Boo. God is love. They put on the television, by the way, and they say weird things like I said earlier. Or this one loves that one, and tomorrow they love that one, and then they sleep with that one, and love that one, and love, love, love. And you put that in perspective, when you look at Scripture, it does change a bit. Anyone who does not love agape does not know God, because God is love. And I don't see anybody, by the way, producing God around here. In this, the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. We saw that earlier. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. All sounds good. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Just keep it there. Sorry, just keep it there. I just want to repeat it. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, if we agape one another, God abides in us. If I agape you, God is living inside of me. And His love, His agape, is perfected in us. Sorry that I'm going to put you on the spot, Emmy. But Emmy is near to my heart, not because He makes my life easier. But Emmy is a picture of agape love to me and to this congregation. He's been agapeing, and there's a lot of us, a lot of other people as well. Chan, all of the guys, all of the setup people, yeah, my heart. I'm just using it as an example. But there's a self-sacrificial, dying to oneself, laying oneself down love that I experience because of Emmy's sacrificial love. And this is not, guys, this is not church pep talk. It's not PR. I'm just saying this is Christianity. I'm seeing God in that man. By the grace, He knows He's a fallible human being. I'm not putting Him on a pedestal either, because we flesh. But by the grace of God and the Spirit on His life, we receive agape each and every Sunday. We see God through our brother agapeing us by doing setup 7 o'clock each and every Sunday for the last 5 years. Can we give Him a round of applause? Emmy, I know you hear my heart and you know what it's about, but we do honor you for that agape love. And it's a very easy way that God can just illustrate this to me in preparation. Let's go back to Scripture. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, if we agape one another, God abides in us. And His love, His agape love, is perfected in us. How awesome is that? John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. So we believe the love, that we take it by faith. We believe God loves us. God is love. God is love. Now imagine a t-shirt like that in the gym or at the rugby or in Tegervallei Centrum. It's not the love, it's peace signs and it's weird and it's rainbows and you name it. But these three words, God is love. I once said to the Lord, I was in prayer, like in deep worship, and I said to God, God, ek is lief vir jou. And I feel I can share it and test it, but it's what God said to me. And I said, God, ek is lief vir jou. And immediately He responded by saying, Retief, ek is liefde vir jou. Now in English, it's translated as this. I said, God, I love you. And God immediately replied and said, Retief, I am love to you. Not only, that includes I love you. But he said, I am love to you. I am the package. I don't only love you like you know love as a human, but I am love to you. It's difficult to unpack it even more than that. It was just something that blew me in that moment. And I believe, obviously, if he says that to me, that he is love to us. It's scriptural, by the way, because the word says, God is love. And he said, Retief, whatever you believe, whatever you see, whatever idea of love you had, I had a weird and not so wonderful past, but whatever idea you had of love, I am love to you. Poof! Changes the definition of love in many, many areas. God is love, and whoever abides in love, whoever stays in love, whoever stays in agape, abides in God. So if I walk in love, I walk in God. And whoever abides, stays in, walk with, in love, abides in God. And God abides in him. It's a double whammy. How cool is that? If I walk in love, it means God is in me. Emmy is our example. As he walks in love, as he agapes this congregation, God is in him. But he is found in God because he's loving. It is just freaking awesome. Guys, chill, relax. Please don't shout out. Don't roll around. Please relax. We're in church. But I can see your excitement is bubbling inside of you. That's awesome. And God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Here's a very awesome note. Awesome note. We can have what? We can have confidence in the day of judgment. Is the day of judgment still coming? Yes, indeed it is. But luckily we say, Lord, we would like it now. And we would like him to pay. And him, his brother. Him is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Pay now. Pay now, not pay later. Pay later is later or quarter. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Remember this. Fear has to do with punishment. Think of areas in your life. Condemnation, Edna mentioned it earlier, fear. Fear has got to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So fear, love. See the opposites. We're going to get to it quickly just now. And lastly, in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Wow, what an easy piece of scripture. What a light piece of scripture. No, I don't think so. What a deep, rich, encompassing, massive piece of scripture. This is not something we're going to unpack in 12 and a half, 22 minutes. But it's something that we need to meditate. Something we say, Lord, this is what I think of love. What does your word say? What does John 3:16 say? What does agape say about love? And then what does 1 John 4 say about love? Guys, there's two things out of this part of scripture that I want to just take and that we are going to take home. We are going to take as a congregation. First one is this. No fear. No fear. I never do this, but maybe we should start doing it. Please say after me. No fear. It sounds a bit like a sect, but we're not. Praise God. But it sounds weird if we do it like that. But we need to do it in the spirit. We're going to do it shortly. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. Just close your eyes even and just meditate on it. There is no fear in love. One can say there is no fear in God, which is obvious. But perfect love, love perfected, a full revelation of true love, full revelation of God, casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Love has not been made perfected. Your idea, your concept, your revelation of love falls short if there's fear. Now, let's close our eyes once again and think of something that recently happened or a situation in your life or something that brings up, wells up fear. We're not going to permit the devil in church We're going to ask God to crush lies. Maybe just close your eyes and think, what made you fearful recently? Have you thought of something? Now let's look at the scripture. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. If I abide in love, I abide in God. If God is in me, love is in me. Now, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. One can also say, if God is love, there is no fear in God. Now, in closing your eyes, you saw that area, that thing. For some people, if I say death, ooh, fear. If I say to some people, budget, ooh, massive fear. If I say, do you have enough for your retirement annuity or your pension fund? Ooh, fear. If I say to some people, you're driving on South African roads, ooh, fear. I see you, fear. Whatever you look at, whatever that picture was, if you take that picture and fear rose, I can promise you, God is not in that picture. God is not in that picture. Love is not in that picture. Close your eyes again. We're just testing, we're just young, we're just children of God. Whatever that picture is, and if it evoked fear, not a godly fear, a bad fear, devilish fear, then I say God and love is not in it. Lord, we ask for love in that picture. Lord, we ask for God into that picture, whatever it is. We ask for God in that picture, God in that picture, God in that picture, because your word says, and the word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word says, perfect love casts out fear. God casts out fear. God casts out fear. If we put God into that, in that picture, we could put God into that formula. Fear must go. And I pray, Lord, I believe your spirit is doing it in these pictures. And you know what, guys? You can open up your eyes again. Glad you're back. You know what? It's that you don't, it's not an exercise for church. It's a daily exercise that whenever fear comes, you need to know that love is absent. Whenever fear arises in a situation, you need to know God is not there. You've stepped out. You've not been abiding in love. Does this make sense? Does it help? First thing we take out of Scripture that we're going to take home about love is this. No fear. Say, no fear. Oh, that sounds much better. No fear. Isaiah 26:3, it's not on there. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. This you is God. So it says the following, Isaiah 26:3. You keep him, you God, God keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on, set on God because he trusts in you. If I've got a picture, if I've got a moment, if I've got a budget, if I've got a deadline, or a person even that I fear, I'm not seeing God in that place. I'm not being stayed. My mind is not stayed on God. I'm not seeing love. I'm not seeing God in that picture. So let's go exercise that. Now just quickly on religion. I've just noted in preparation that religion, there's a good definition of religion, but in our modern days, in our Christian walk in churches, we say religious or religion as a negative word. So I'm using the negative context. Something that religiosity I put in contrast to what? Relationship with God, a flow, a loving, and where religion is not relationship with God, but we're just doing it for due sake. To test if something is religious, is many times to go check, is there fear involved? Am I pushed? Not led. Am I pushed? Am I drawn? Am I persuaded by fear? Or am I led by love? Now, a lot can be done by fear. There's massive empires, there's massive buildings, there's massive things happening. Egypt is a good example of what fear-driven people and men could have done. Even God's people, fear-driven people could have done. Go out into Sandton, go out into to town, go out into Dubai, go out to Sydney, go out to New York or London. Go out into these stock exchanges. I'm not saying it's all fear-driven. I went to London last year and I saw how when they go home at 7:30, nobody looks in the eye. They're out there. They're in their thousands. It's like ants. This is Mirkis. Operate. But they're well-tied and suited. They've got their iPhones and they've got their this and their that. They're all sorted. But they're driven. They're motivated. They're motivated by what many a times? Not all of them. Please hear my heart. I'm not saying I don't know all of them, so I can't say this. But I do pick a lot of fear. So fear can establish a lot. But if fear is involved, love is not involved. If fear is involved, God is not involved. Religion will like to get stuff done. Religion gets stuff done. We've seen that. Look at our country. Look at it. It's not all bad, but look how much was done in the name of religion without relationship. So fear can get stuff done, but it doesn't last. Love leads to life. Fear does not lead to life. I believe fear leads to death. Religious fear, and doing things out of religious fear, leads to death. Doing things in godly love leads to life. Make sense? We need to walk in relationship. Love walks in relationship. The second thing, we looked at 1 John 4, just to recap. We're laying a foundation for love, a biblical foundation for love. We looked at 1 John 4. We said two things. First one is no fear. And then the second one is He loved us first. God loved us first. Again, religion will like you to do stuff out of the flesh. But if you do not have a revelation of the cross, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Christ, if you don't have a revelation of that love, an experience of the love that God's loved you with, how can I expect you to love others? Remember, agape is love which is of and from God, whose very nature is love itself. God is love. God does not merely love, He is love itself. Everything God does flows from His love. It's from His being. God loved you first. Do you still remember that? We all, by the grace of God, we all believe in His Son. That's why we're here. So we've all received that love. We all believe that love. John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. Do you still remember that? This is maybe a tough question. Because sometimes we, either life happens, we get knocked around, that heart shape that I saw earlier gets knocked, gets a couple of dents, it gets crashed and burned, it gets molded and folded and put back together again. It's not always easy, and then we might just forget that we were loved first. And the awesome thing is that God's love for us is not a once-off. It's not a once-off. I need to daily go and be loved on by God. If I am not daily loved on by God, if I'm not agaped by love, if I'm not filioed, if I'm not spoken to or touched by the Lord, I'm worth nothing to you guys. In my flesh, I'm anyway worth nothing to you guys. But if I'm not loved by God, there ain't no love going to Edna. There's not much love going to Frida and Sophia. And in fact, after I've tried that, there's nothing left for you guys. God loved me first. And I need to be in a position where God loves me daily first. And out of that place, I can go and love. I read a book. Well, I'm busy reading a book. I'm busy reading a couple of books. I do take my time with books. But I read this, and it's totally out of context, but it is applicable here. I read the following. But a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with only an argument. But a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with only an argument. Religion will love to argue with you about God's love. Yes, you love, go on. But I can argue with my empty petrol tank of my car as long as I want to. But if it's not experiencing petrol, it's not going to move. I'm going to repeat that because I enjoyed it so much. I can argue with my empty petrol tank of my car as much as I want. But if it's not experiencing any petrol, it's not going to move. If I, Retief, and I sometimes looked up at Edna at the wrong time now, but I might expecting something from her sometimes when her tank is, I might be arguing with her petrol tank and she's like, there ain't no petrol, buddy. This ain't going anywhere soon. That's not her way. That's just tongue in cheek. But a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with only an argument. Religion would love to argue and talk about and have a head full of God's love. We're not going to go far with a head full of God's love. It's good to have knowledge. Hear my heart. But we need tanks full of petrol. We need love here. Have you experienced God's love lately? If I need to be a pastor and I don't experience God's love, you're going to soon see it if I just, I'm trying to rumble off stuff out of my head about love and faith and rhema words and stuff. We lose our authenticity. If we say, God, we hunger for a better idea, perfect idea of love, it needs to include experience. He didn't give little Furi to Wimpy and Anina just to have a great knowledge about Furi. They've got an awesome experience with little Furi. God has just been speaking to her this week out of this awesome experience of who God is. Relationship is based on experience as well. Not just mere argument. I'm going to read it once more because we like it and we need to remember it. But a man, a church, a pastor, a cell leader, a member, a skapie, wiblikni, a bokni, everybody with an experience is never at the mercy of one with only an argument. And guys, we can't, firstly in our houses, firstly in our marriages, firstly in our cell groups, firstly at church, and then out there for our neighbors, in our workplace, on the rugby field, or wherever you go out. We can't be caught napping. We can't be caught without an experience against a world full of arguments. They would love to argue, God, you can come with whatever atheist argument you've got. And it might be a darn good argument as well. But you can't take away my experience of God's love. You can't rob me of my experience of love itself. You can't ever rob me of the experience of God the Father coming through a man called Emmy. Afkorting, Emmy. You cannot rob me of that experience. You cannot rob me of the experience where I, myself and Edna was without a vehicle, somebody going to our pastor and saying, I just feel God say that I must buy them a car. This is about, not about material things, and it's not about pastors getting rich. But that Ford we had in the previous season, somebody blessed us with that. That's agape love. It cost them money, real money. Nobody can rob me from that God experience of agape love when I walked in and somebody said, God told me to buy you this. And tears flowed because of that. Nobody can take away that agape love experience that a young lady had at Awakening Europe when I was able to, and I was just a donkey, when I was able to pray for her and she started to speak in tongues and pray in tongues. And the tears and the words just flowed from her. like a river. That's experience that no argument can take away. My young daughters need to have experience of the love of Retief. I can't put a sticker on the back of my car saying, I love my daughters. It's not going to be worth anything. I can't go around quoting on Facebook, I love Frida and Sophia, if they've never experienced it. My question to you is simply this. Do you have an experience of God's love? And if not, we're going to say, thank you, Lord. You're going to crush any lie, anything that stands against us and your love, so that we can go around with an experience of your truth and of your love, and not a mere argument. And I'm ending off with asking you, what does love look like to you? Remember, this is not the full. You can never say it's the sum total of love that we've covered today. Never. We've maybe scratched the surface, but hopefully a sensitive one, and hopefully in the right direction as well. What does love look like to you? What is love to you? And have you been loved? Are you a man with an experience? Or are you a man with a good argument of God's love? It's good to have an argument. Again, I'll reiterate that. It's good to have the knowledge in your head. But that knowledge needs to be experiential knowledge in your heart and into your day-to-day life as well. And we're going to trust God to be a church of experiential lovers. I was going to go through 1 Corinthians 13, which I believe is a good net, a good sieve, to just take our love picture, just put it through that. But you can go do it this week. We're not going to do it. We are going to look at 1 Corinthians 13 through the series, obviously. But go and look at what love is. Edna actually posted a couple of weeks out of the Amplified or the Message Bible. It's just a profound thing of what love is, including agape love. So what are we taking home today? God is talking to us as a church about love. We all have a love picture, and we all said, Lord, we want you to show us the true love picture. We don't only want it in our head, Lord. We want an experience of that love. In our inner room, you're amongst us, in our worship, at cell. And then we'd like to go and impart that elsewhere, because agape is not focused inwardly. Agape is self-sacrificial and outwardly focused. And then the two things out of 1 John 4 that we're taking is important. Say after me, no fear. No fear. If there's fear, there's a problem. If there's fear, God is not in the picture. It's very easy, guys. This is easy, but it's detrimental if we don't take what is easy and implement in daily life. It might be sounding great if I say it, or it might not even sound that great if I say it. But if you don't take it and use it in life, we're not going to change. And then we're not going to change the world either. So there's no fear. The other thing is we take the religious burden off ourselves and say, God loved us first. He agaped us so that we can go and agape others. Religion would like to bring a whip and saying, well, to a guy that has no experience, no revelation of God really, but just like to say, well, go and love. And he's like, I don't even know what the heck that is. I can today say, I've got an idea of what love is. I'd like to grow in it. And that's what we're all going to do. No fear. God loved us first. Let him love on you. Let him love you. Let him be love to you. And you cannot but go and love others. You cannot but love your cell members. You cannot but love your neighbor if you've truly connected with love. It's 11 o'clock. Let's pray. If you would like to be that man with an, or that lady, or that young lady, with an experience of God's love, and not just an argument. If you really want to experience, have an experience with God's love, don't you want to raise your hand and I can pray for you? God, we thank you that as our hands are raised, we're just saying, Lord, we want to experience love. We have experienced it. All have experienced it through faith by acknowledging Christ. It's not mere emotions. We take it by faith. But in that comes experience where we see it in day-to-day life. Through each other, through the Word of God, in prayer, in worship, and then just your rhema, soft voice in our innermost being. God, we crave that. Lord, we not only want it, but we know that as you give it to us, we will be able to give it to others. So thank you, God, for agape experiences, filio experiences, love experiences with you. And that will fan a flame in this church, fan a flame in our hearts, fan a flame in our households, that set ablaze fires for God. Fires of love. Something that the world does not know. Something that they cannot reproduce or make. The world cannot make love. It's a lie. The world cannot make love. It is a lie. God is love. God is love. God is love. Thank you, God, for your love. And then lastly, we thank you, Lord, that your word says, perfect love casts out fear. In the areas of our lives, mine firstly, where there's fear, God, please come and take the place of honor. Come and step into the equation. Come and step into the picture. Come and step into the problem. Step into it, step into it, step into it, love. We invite you, we open up, we fling open the doors. Step in love so that fear must flee. We pray that for me and my house. We pray it for each and every household in this church. We pray it for each and every person, remember. And we pray it for this area, Father God, that God will enter. Love perfected will enter so that fear can go. And we ask that by grace. We ask that through your Son. We thank you for that in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure, I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord. You guys should have a good, fearless, loveful, full of experience week. If you need some prayer afterwards, please come and pray with us. I know one or two pray with Sam a bit. She's almost due for the little one. And then also pray for Emmy and his family. They've had a couple of tough days here and there. And if there's any other prayer requests, please do come. If there's stuff that I've shared that's really tugged on your heart, there'll be people here to pray with you. Have an awesome week.